News.com studios. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Wednesday, August the 29th, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We have some election results from last night, and we're going to take a look at where this is headed. I think the most interesting one was the result in Florida. We had a very left-wing socialist supported by Bernie Sanders, as the headlines you'll see in most places. What conservatives are pointing out is that he was supported by George Soros and Soros money. So we have these Soros socialists, like this guy who won in Florida, as well as Robert O'Rourke. He goes by the name Beto, Bob. Bob in Hispanic, I guess. But this is, as I said before, he is the first trans-Hispanic candidate. But he is down the line, hardcore left, just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And all of these candidates have one thing in common, a couple of things in common. First of all, they are Soros socialists, just like Andrew Gillum, the guy who won in the Democrat primary in Florida. He's the black mayor from Tallahassee. They use the identity politics, Ocasio-Cortez using the identity politics of being Hispanic, Andrew Gillum using the identity politics of being black, and Beto O'Rourke using the identity politics of being Hispanic, even though he's Irish. Nothing about him is Hispanic, except the fact they lived in El Paso and he learned to speak English. So we're going to take a look at the election results, where this is going, what the candidates are actually saying. We had another interesting result in Arizona. We had, as President Trump tweeted out, Martha McSally, running in the Arizona primary for U.S. Senate, was endorsed by rejected Senator Jeff Flake, as President Trump puts it, rejected Senator Jeff Flake. And she turned it down, a first. So she was endorsed by Jeff Flake. She says, I don't want your endorsement. She turned it down, and now she won the nomination there. And so President Trump is congratulating her on that. We're also going to take a look at what is going on with censorship. That is at the top of the news, the anti-social corporations, as Drudge had at the top of the news, a top Google news story. Is it CNN says that Google News isn't rigged? When it is. this is self-referential, circular absurdity that's coming out of Google, coming out of CNN. They have been caught, and everybody on the left that has any integrity is distancing themselves from CNN right now because they've been caught using the anonymous tip from Lanny Davis, saying, look, there was Russian conspiracy. There was Trump knew about the meeting at Trump Tower. None of that was true. Lanny Davis then later walked that back. But they used all that as Lanny Davis being an anonymous source, as I talked about that yesterday, and they continued down that road, even though Lanny Davis first lied about that to them. They went with it. They elaborated on that. And after Lanny Davis says, yeah, it's not true, and yeah, I'm the source, even though CNN said, well, we asked Lanny Davis for comments, but he had no comment. He was their source. He was their source. And they did that because they knew that everybody was going to say, wait a minute, this is coming from Cohen. Lanny Davis is a Clinton operative. Lanny Davis has got to be their source. So to cover themselves, they pretended that he wasn't the source. They lied about all of this stuff. And then what is even more amazing than the lies that they were caught in is that even though they've been caught in these lies, they continue to persist in it. They said, that's our story, and we're going to stick to it. And they are going down in flames. You got Glenn Greenwald. You got people at Politico. You got people at BuzzFeed, all of them pointing fingers at CNN saying, fake news, fake news. And part of their fake news is their attack. We're going to play that for you. Andrew Cuomo. Sorry, not Andrew, the other brother. Here's my other brother, Cuomo. The dumber one is they're saying that Trump talking about conspiracy by these anti-social media companies is a conspiracy theory. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money.
You found it. From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. Ben Garrison is going to be joining us in the third hour. And, of course, he's going to be joining me so that we can bury McCain, the man who wanted to become Caesar rather than praise him, this guy who wanted to turn us into an empire. Did a pretty good job of it, actually. Pretty reprehensible what he was able to get through and how he betrayed Republican voters again and again. But we're going to be talking about John McCain. He got a lot of traction on his story. And, of course, Ben Garrison is known for his political cartoons, the preeminent conservative political cartoonist. And so we're going to be talking to Ben Garrison in the third hour. I want to cover what's happening with politics. We had Bruce Orr testify in private testimony before the House committee looking into what the FBI has been doing illegally. So we're going to have Truth or Dare. O-H-R. Truth or Dare. We're going to talk about what's going on with that as President Trump weighed in on that, as Mark Meadows and many of the people present at that said, well, he has said things that directly contradict what Rod Rosenstein has said, things that contradict what the Fusion GPS people have said. So this is sworn testimony. Some of these guys are lying because their testimony contradicts each other. One of them is lying, said one of the congressmen. Well, there's another alternative. Maybe all of them are lying. They can't all be telling the truth if they're contradicting each other, but they could all be lying. Let's not rule that out as a possibility, given what we have seen there. And then, of course, I also want to talk about, and in the context of this, what has come out about Hillary Clinton's emails being confirmed to have been taken by the Chinese government, actually having embedded some code on her personal unsecured server. Wasn't hard to do because, you know, she has that domain name, ClintonEmails.com. Come and get it. As we've said from the very beginning, this is nothing more than likely. I think we're going to eventually find out if there really is an investigation. We're going to find out that this is nothing more than a high-tech drop of information. You know, where you've seen this in the movies. You go there and you sit on a bench. You pretend you're reading the newspaper. Remember those things, newspapers? You pretend you're reading the newspaper at the bench. You stick the secret documents in the bench. You leave the newspaper on the bench, get up, and another guy comes in, sits down, and picks up the newspaper, pretends he's reading, and goes off with the document. Well, that's what she was doing with ClintonEmails.com, I believe. Said that for a very long time. And I had reported a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, how coincidental it was that the Chinese rounded up and executed virtually every spy in China that was working for the American intelligence community between the years of 2010 and 2012. What a coincidence. That kind of corresponds exactly to the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Exactly. Because she resigned shortly at the very beginning of 2013, and she was involved in all kinds of Benghazi hearings and so forth with that. So I said, well, you know, looks like they got that information from Hillary Clinton, and now we have that verified. They actually put some code on her software, on her personal server, and it made courtesy copies, as they call it. Every email that came into her, every email that went out, it sent a copy to the Chinese government. Absolutely amazing. But let's understand. Let's put those two things together. And that was a story that was put out by True Pundit about 6 weeks ago. They happened to notice that Texas Representative Louis Gohmert said about the middle of July that had happened, that the Chinese had gotten that. I didn't see it, and I didn't see the True Pundit story. And now it's been picked up by everybody. President Trump has noticed it and so forth. Everybody has noticed this now because it's been picked up by the Daily Caller. But they actually noticed that 6 weeks ago. I didn't see their story. I didn't see what Louis Gohmert had said. But I had seen how the Chinese spies were rounded up. So if you put those two things together, folks, why, as President Trump said, why are the FBI and the CIA not looking after this? Why don't they care that their intelligence people were rounded up and sent off to the gulag, the real gulag, not the one or executed, you know, not the gulag that we're talking about with Google. Why isn't that being investigated? Don't they care about their own people? You know, it's one of the things about John McCain, when I talked about him, that I thought was absolutely amazing, is how he fought so hard to stop any investigation of the POWs that were missing in action in Vietnam. He shut down all those investigations, all the documents and satellite surveillance and video footage and ransom demands from the Vietnamese, all of that evidence, he shut down. And he verbally and even physically attacked the families of those people who wanted to get the prisoners of war out there. How does that jive with all the people who are out there reflexively saluting McCain because he wore the uniform? Isn't one of the principles of the military that you don't leave people behind? John McCain left behind hundreds of people, over 700 people. For what purpose? What did he want covered up? What was he ashamed of? What did he not want you to find out? And why would he betray these people? As I said when I was talking about the other day, far worse even than what Hillary Clinton did in Benghazi, the number of people that he betrayed and the cold-hearted way that he did it for so long and got away with it. Maybe that's why they're praising him. The deep state likes that kind of betrayal. He didn't just betray the principles that he ran on to get elected. He didn't just betray the GOP voters on Obamacare, on immigration, on spending and on everything else, wars and so forth. He didn't just betray the GOP voters. He betrayed the soldiers that he served with. But let's raise the flag by all means. By all means. Or lower it, I should say. That's what everybody was concerned about. As I said yesterday, if you want to honor John McCain's memory, put up a flag of ISIS, because those are the people that he worked with. Those are the people that he conspired with. Those are the people that he set Syria and Libya and other places on fire with for his own empire building. How do you honor somebody like that? Anyway, we'll be talking to Ben Garrison about that coming up. Well, let's talk a little bit about the identity politics. As I said, Andrew Gillum is the guy, Tallahassee mayor, shocked everybody. He beat an establishment Democrat. What a surprise, because he had the backing of Soros and so many others. Democrat Andrew Gillum rode to a surge of liberal support from young people and African Americans to a stunning primary victory, because it's all about identity politics, and that's how they hide the socialism. Nobody cares. Oh, he's black. I'll vote for him. They care if it's a black conservative. Boy, they will come after them tooth and nail. But, you know, if it's a black socialist, let's not even look at this. Democrats have lost the past five elections for a governor in Florida using middle-of-the-road candidates, reports. This is Miami Herald. And so when I look at this, think about the fact they've had middle-of-the-road candidates running in Florida. Five times in a row they've lost. So are they careening off into obscurity? Is the Democrat Party becoming a fringe party? You know, we said many times when I was working in the Libertarian Party, okay, all you people who say we can only have two political parties, I don't agree with that. I think we ought to have, I don't like the Soviet style. because, you know, quite frankly, it's just one party with two wings. It's got a left wing and a right wing, or it's got the warfare wing and the welfare wing, if you want to put it that way. If you go to the grocery store, would you be happy if you only had two choices of bread, if you only had two choices of potato chips or soda pop? That's Soviet Union style, not Russia even, but Soviet Union style choices. And that's what we have in our political system. But a lot of people say, oh, it would bust the system if we had more than two choices. And we say, fine, then let's get rid of the Democrats. Let's have a GOP, big government, big corporation choice. And let's have a choice that stands for individual liberty. But maybe they are careening off now into this fringe status. They've lost the last five elections with middle-of-the-road candidates, so now they're going to try hard on socialism. Let's see how that works for them in Florida, the place that was just ranked number one in freedom. Maybe that's an accident. We'll be right back. Stay with us. David Knight. Let's take a look at what happened in the election in Florida. It was with 94% of the vote in. He had a 3 percentage point lead over his rival, a congresswoman, Gwen Graham. And most of his support came from Miami-Dade and Broward, the state's two largest Democrat parties, reports the Miami Herald. As Bernie Sanders was there, he said this candidate has laid out a vision for a new course. Tonight, Floridians joined Andrew in standing up and demanding a change in their community. That's what the political revolution is all about, and Andrew Gillum is helping to lead it. Well, let's have that discussion. Let's have the discussion between Venezuelan socialism and American freedom. And that's what Ron DeSantis, the Republican who won the primary, essentially said. Let's have that discussion. Let's not make this about the fact that he's black, because I'm afraid that's what they are going to use to pull this in. I don't think he got that kind of support necessarily. As I said at the very beginning of the article, his biggest support came from African Americans and young people. Are they voting for socialism or are they voting for identity politics? And of course, Bernie Sanders was there. So was Jane Fonda, had been campaigning for him in Florida. Norman Lear, All in the Family. The guy who created All in the Family and had Archie Bunker out there. He was going to show us just how obnoxious conservatives could be. And he came up with a very obnoxious conservative. You know what? Everybody liked Archie Bunker better than they liked the meathead son-in-law, Rob Reiner, playing himself in real life, quite frankly. He is the meathead. He has been the meathead his entire life. He sounds exactly like me. He wasn't acting. He was just giving us his political views. And everybody found Rob Reiner to be obnoxious, and still do. Everybody would embrace somebody who was obnoxious like Archie Bunker before they would embrace Rob Reiner. Kind of a foreshadowing of the Trump revolution. Anyway, it was Norman Lear, Jane Fonda, and also big amounts of cash, reports Miami Herald, from Tom Steyer and George Soros. Also boosting Gilliam's aggressive get-out-the-vote efforts were infusions of cash from liberal third-party groups such as The Collective. Oh, what a great name for that super PAC, The Collective. Everything about them is collective. They're going to collect your money. They're going to collect your freedoms, your free speech, everything. And they're going to lock it up. Just like Bernie Sanders said with the tax cut. They're looting the treasury. That's my money over there. I'm supposed to be able to dole that out to people like kids on an allowance. That's what the socialists do. It's like, how dare Trump let people keep some of the money that they earned? It's supposed to go to Bernie Sanders, and he's supposed to lock it up somewhere in Washington and dole it out to us so we can become dependent on him. And so boosting Gillum's aggressive get out the vote was The Collective, a super PAC. And money that came from Tom Steyer, the never-Trump billionaire, and George Soros. That's what it is. It's Soros socialism with a mask of identity politics. Fox News says Soros-backed Gillum will square off against Trump-backed DeSantis in a key Florida test. DeSantis is loudly supported by President Trump, and he denounced his competitor, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, as the, quote, most liberal candidate the Democrat Party has ever nominated in the state of Florida by a country mile for a governor's race. And that's absolutely true. I mean, the Miami Herald pointed that out as well. Said, hey, it hasn't worked. 5 times in a row we've been defeated, the Democrats have, with a middle-of-the-road candidate. So let's go full communist and see how that works. But that's not what they're doing. Again, it's the identity politics. DeSantis said, tweeted out, I'm trying to make Florida better. He wants to make Florida Venezuela. And of course, he was congratulated by Bernie Sanders and that other candidate who was supported by George Soros, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That is where we are. So let's take a look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. There's some news that came out from her last few days. The candidate that Salon touted about 3 days ago said, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is she the next Barack Obama? No, could be. He wrote that identity politics thing. We knew nothing about Barack Obama. He hid everything, kept everything secret, classified, not allowed to know. Well, let's see. He was a community organizer and then a state senator. doesn't really have much of a background. He gave a great speech at the Democrat convention one year. We can't really get any information about his name change, his trips to the Middle East, anything about what he did in Indonesia, the Muslim madrasa that he went to school in, that he was raised in that Muslim. I can't get any of that background, all that stuff about the New York Times saying that he gave this wonderful Muslim call to prayer. Of course, they didn't record it, and that never, you know, that kind of got flushed down the memory hole by Google and others. Never was mentioned again after the New York Times mentioned it once. But we were never allowed to know what his background was. He told a lot of people that he was for a lot of things that he didn't do once he got into office. But so Ocasio-Cortez could be the next Barack Obama because she doesn't even know what she believes. She probably couldn't find the U.S. on a map, let alone her economic position. But, you know, this is the woman who goes around talking about how she stands united with these poor taxi drivers who are being driven out of business, literally driven out of business by Uber, the giant corporation, which after they get rid of the taxi drivers, the independent taxi drivers, Uber has made it very clear they're going to get rid of the Uber drivers next because that's what makes their service so expensive, even though they get an advantage in terms of regulations that they don't have to do. That's the real issue. But she makes it one of the little man versus the big corporations. But they love the big corporations when they censor people. And she loves Uber. She spent over $4,000 on Uber after criticizing them to people, saying, I stand with regular Americans and so forth. This is the way these people roll. And I have recorded reports, which you can now no longer see because the gulag has taken them down. I recorded reports when I was traveling, talking to taxi drivers. I prefer to take taxis. And I asked them about the competition from Uber. And in Washington, D.C., I had a very good conversation with a taxi driver talking about how he gets the white glove treatment, all these taxi companies do, how they were going to mandate that they had to have cars of a certain age, certain mileage, and so forth. They could be pulled over at any time. They have a special group of inspectors, like a taxi police. They can pull them over and inspect them at any time. Can't have a car of a certain age or a certain mileage and so forth. And then have these things called taxi medallions in the big cities like Washington, D.C. and New York and so forth. And you have to have that to get into the airport in most even smaller cities. And they pay, as you might recall from Michael Cohen, you know, the millions of dollars that people pay to get a taxi. And it can be a wealthy lawyer like Michael Cohen, or it can be an individual who saved up their entire life so they could own their taxi. And that's the way that they were going to retire, or what they had saved up for their entire life. They buy that taxi medallion maybe for $1 million in New York, and now it's maybe worth $200,000, if that. And these guys are committing suicide left and right. Now, Uber doesn't have to pay for those medallions. Uber doesn't have to worry about maintaining the cars or having a new car. And they're going to cut the throats of the drivers as soon as they can. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Democracy has been described as two wolves and a sheep voting for what's going to be for lunch. I believe that was James Bovard who said that. One of the things that James Bovard did say is that freedom really comes from the recognition that there are certain rights that cannot be taken, even with a 99% majority. So how do we allow one or two corporations to take our freedom of speech? Your freedom of speech. You know, yesterday I was on my way home, and I leave early in the afternoon, so I'm searching around, sometimes see what people are talking about on the radio. I heard a little bit of Rush Limbaugh, a very little bit, because I had to turn the guy off. Absolutely disgusting what he was saying. Because he was saying, oh, all you people that are whining and complaining about social media, what did you think you were going to get from all these liberal Silicon Valley, California billionaires? You should have known better than to put anything on there. It's like, okay, fine. You know, Rush Limbaugh, with the support of the GOP establishment, has got a massive number of radio stations. I understand that. I understand that he used to be somebody who was independent thinking, used to take a look at small government, criticized severely George H.W. Bush when he spun around and reversed himself on the Read My Lips, No New Taxes pledge. Remember that? Nobody believed that George H.W. Bush wasn't going to undo all the tax cuts that Ronald Reagan did, because he had criticized it as voodoo economics. He didn't believe that tax cuts were good for the economy. He, like Bernie Sanders, George H.W. Bush, like Bernie Sanders, believed that the government knows better than you how to spend the money that you earn. And so everybody was really concerned about that. Said, oh, okay, you know, we understand that Reagan had to do a deal with the establishment and with the deep state and with the CIA in order to get become president, and he had to pick you as the vice president, but we think you're going to undo all this. And, oh, no, 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 no. They're going to tell me, raise your taxes, and I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, tell me again, and I'll say, no, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he did it, gave us the biggest tax increase we'd ever seen at that point in time. And as he was caught by some reporters, they asked him for a comment. He sneered at him like Peter Strzok and jogged off and said, read my hips. A lot of people joked about it, said, well, maybe he was saying, no, Newt, taxes, you know, Newt Gingrich or whatever. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh criticized him quite a bit for that. He even had a little thing where he had George Bush weather vane at the top of the White House, and he'd run up there to see which direction the wind was blowing. And so then he got a call from the White House, come visit me. And so he packs his bag, and he comes back, and he got to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom, and George H.W. Bush met him at the door and carried his bags, and what a gentleman. I just love this guy now. And he has been a sycophant for the GOP establishment ever since. So this guy, who's got a big network of radio stations, says, what's the matter with you? You know, don't depend on all these different social media places. Well, that's where the discussion is. And that was where the biggest impact on this last election took place. And if you don't understand that, Limbaugh, you might go back and take a look at what happened. The biggest impact was what happened on social media. And it just wasn't the people who were posting on social media. It was the fact that individuals like those of you listening to this were able to put your voice out there. Many of you have much more interesting things to say than I do. The comments that are on Twitter, the comments that are on Facebook, the points that people make, and the comments on articles that are now being shut down by Google, where you can't find those articles. Those things made a big difference. Your ability to be able to share our reports with people who are like-minded, it's your speech that's being shut down. And I don't think that people like Rush Limbaugh or people like me should be the only ones who have speech. Your speech is being shut down. They're not controlling not only what you can see and hear, they're shutting down what you can share with people. What you can say, your comments, what you think is being shut down. That is an abomination. And that has to stop. We're not going to have free speech because it is allowed by the establishment parties or the established corporations in Silicon Valley. We're not going to have that. We're going to take that back. We're going to have, it was a grassroots movement, a collective movement that was outside of the mainstream media. And that includes the big radio talk show hosts as well that changed this election. You did it. And it's your speech that's being taken down as well as ours. And when we look at what's going on with this, it just reminds me, as we're talking about this, as CNN is saying, well, it's a conspiracy theory. The African National Congress communists are not going to steal the land. They're not going to kill the white people and so forth. Yeah, they were. They were. That is their stated intention. But even they are starting to walk this back. RT reports, South Africa's ruling ANC says land expropriation bill has been withdrawn for further reconsideration. Why? Because President Trump pressured them. Why? Because we talked about it here in alternative media. It was The Guardian saying, well, how did this guy, Simon Roche, get so much traction? Well, he's making all of these alternative right-wing media places. That's where he got traction. And then President Trump talked about it. And now South Africa is saying, well, a bill allowing the South African government to seize private land without compensation has been withdrawn by the Portfolio Committee on Public Works pending further study, according to the ruling African National Congress. The proposed constitutional amendment to take land without compensation for the owners. So it looks like that pressure has had a little bit of effect here. We'll hope that that is what happens. Nevertheless, you have Theresa May yesterday, and I tweeted this out, a picture by AP, I think he works for the AP. He's a photographer. He was following Theresa May around, Stefan Rousseau. I retweeted that. She was worshiping at the cell of Nelson Mandela, the communist. Nelson Mandela. And she was worshiping at that cell because why? It's politically correct to do so. The establishment in the mainstream media loves Nelson Mandela. You can see the legacy of Nelson Mandela now in South Africa if you couldn't see it with Winnie Mandela before. And so I said, when I tweeted this out, I said, how long will it be before Theresa May copies the policies of the ANC communists? Or is she already giving away the UK to other people groups? As I'd lock her up before she stages another false flag gas attack like she did with the Skripal poisoning so she can get another war. And so as South Africa says, well, maybe we need to think about this a little bit, as they start to pull this back, Theresa May is there worshiping at the cell of the communist Nelson Mandela and says, we support South African land reform. We support them stealing this stuff without any compensation, as long as it's carried out legally, she says. And that's why I began this segment by saying, legally? Really? Is it going to be okay? Is it okay if they change the Constitution and say, we can take your land, we can take your life if you resist us? We can take the first guy to have his land taken, they offered him 1/10 of what the government itself said the land was worth. And he said, I'm not giving it to you at 10% of its value. And if you try to take it, I will defend it with my life. And he bought that property 20 years ago. And he's been fighting them for 10 years that they didn't want to pay him a just amount for that. I am opposed to eminent domain in America. And this is far worse than that. And just because you pass a law, just because you change the Constitution, doesn't mean that you can take our God-given rights. That's why we had a revolution here in America. That's what the Declaration of Independence is about. We don't get those freedoms from the Constitution. The Constitution is there to keep the government from taking those freedoms. That's the whole purpose of this. And as I talk about that, I think one of the reasons that they pulled this back is because they said, well, we're going to confiscate the guns first. That's really what they're doing. Not so much the pressure that they got. And President Trudeau in Canada wants to do the same thing. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. And before we get into what happened with the Bruce Orr hearing, the truth or dare. Did he dare to tell the truth? Would he even know the truth if it bit him? We'll see. But before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you how you can support InfoWars. Keep information free. And that is with the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And you can also support your own health. How about that? Free speech and better health with the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We have released a couple of different products recently. We have a new product called Ultimate Female Force, perfect companion or alternative to Super Female Vitality. You can get that 50% off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to find out more information about that. And also we have a new formulation, new supplier, better ingredients for the Ultimate Bone Broth, one of our fan favorites. That is now 50% off. And we have, after a long wait, have enough stock to bring you Bod Ease at 50% off. It's a very popular turmeric formula. And, of course, turmeric is very, very effective at reducing inflammation and many other beneficial health effects. And for our listeners of this program, we have a special You can get 20% off of Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just use the code REALNEWS to save 20% off of both the original and immune support Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee just for our listeners. Use the code REALNEWS. Get 20% off of that coffee at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, as I was talking about the reluctance of the ANC, they said, no, maybe we don't want to do this land expropriation bill. Maybe we'll consider this a little bit more before we do a constitutional amendment saying that we can confiscate your land. And then you have, and I think it's because there's been some attention to this, but also because so many of these people, like Simon Roche that I've talked to, like this first landowner who has a hunting reserve, he bought the property 10 years ago, 20 years ago. For 10 years, he's been fighting them because they don't want to pay him any more than 10%. So I said, well, we'll just take it. And he says, well, you do. I'll fight to the death to keep this property. So now they're saying, well, I think we'll take your guns first. Let's hold off on this land confiscation a little bit so we can get the guns first. And of course, Theresa May jumping into this and saying, yeah, we support them taking the property. Just do it legally. You know, let's just have a vote on it. And all the wolves can say what they want to take from the sheep. As land confiscations loom, South Africa rules that 300,000 gun owners must turn over their weapons. This is a story from Zero Hedge. Actually, it's originally from gunpowdermagazine.com. South Africa is opening the door for tyranny. The Constitutional Court of South Africa recently ruled that 300,000 gun owners must turn in their firearms. And what they did was they overruled, if I'm reading this correctly, they overruled another court's ruling in 2017 that said the Firearm Control Act was unconstitutional. So see, you can either have a court overthrow the Constitution, or you can do it with a Democratic vote. And ultimately, folks, it comes down to whether or not you're going to fight for your rights. That's what it's really going to come down to. Well, the South Africans who they want to enslave, because if they take the land from the white South Africans simply because they're white, or take it from anybody, whatever their color, because eventually if they take it from these guys because they're white, do you think they're going to turn it over to the black people there? They haven't so far. If they did turn it over to black people, do you think the black people would have any ownership rights? Of course not. If they can take the property from your neighbor, for whatever the pretense is, if it's a racist pretense, or if it's a property that they need for some other stated reason, if they take it away from them without compensation, they can do the same thing to you. And if they can take away your guns because they say that they are privileges, you know, this is the whole thing. Oh, you guys have this land because you're privileged. It's white privilege. That's why you have this land. So we can take it from you. And then they come out in the court that said, this is unconstitutional. This Firearms Control Act is unconstitutional. Now the Supreme Court there, the Constitutional Court, says gun owners who fail to renew their firearms licenses must hand in their firearms to the nearest police. See, that's what happens when you get a license. You have admitted, oh, this is not a God-given right. I don't have a right as a human being to protect myself. I have to get a license from the government to do that. They're going to give me a privilege license to do that. Well, if they give you a license, it is a privilege and they can revoke that. And that's what they're about to do. And so we understand that as they're getting ready to do this, we know exactly where they are going with this. And as I mentioned hurriedly before we went to the break, Canadian Prime Minister, not President, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has now ordered in a mandate letter a study. They want a study conducted. This has been reported by the Canadian news, CBC News. It says, you should lead an examination of a full ban on handguns and assault weapons in Canada, while not impeding the lawful use of firearms by Canadians, says Trudeau. So, you know, we don't want to step on anybody's rights here, and we don't want to take away the guns. I fully support the Second Amendment, says Justin Trudeau and all the Democrats out there. You know, they always put that out. Oh, I support the Second Amendment. Absolutely. It's part of the Constitution. I just want to ban and confiscate guns. And so he starts out, well, I want you to take a look at a full ban on handguns and assault weapons, whatever those are, because they never define them. It's kind of like the hate speech that's always regulated and banned, right? We don't know what it is, and we don't know what the assault weapons are. It's whatever they feel it is. This all came up because of the violent attack, the deadly shooting in Toronto back in July. This is a guy that looks to be an Islamic terrorist. ISIS claimed credit for the attack. This guy appears to be a terrorist. And the way that he got the gun was smash and grab. He broke into a gun store and he stole it. No background check required. And on the basis of that, Trudeau says, we're going to take away your rights. Then let's take a look at Saudi Arabia, our ally, our CIA ally. Saudi Arabia, one particular woman, 29-year-old, has spent 3 years in prison for nonviolent advocacy of human rights for Saudi Arabia's Shiite minority. And now they want to cut off her head. Our head-chopping allies, Saudi Arabia, probably cut off more heads than ISIS has, given the fact that ISIS is still fighting for control. Once they get in control, I'm sure they'll give the Saudis a run for their money. That's the way these guys roll. Anyway, the five other Shiites with her, all facing beheading. What are their crimes? Well, she did things like chanting slogans hostile to the regime. She had protests. She posted on social media. And they said that you sought to inflame public opinion. You know, they hate her speech. So our ally, Saudi Arabia, is about to cut off the head of a 29-year-old woman for the things that she posted on social media. That's it. That's all she did. Are we going to allow CNN and the Democrats and the mainstream media and the big corporations to tell us what we can say? Are we going to do that? Because if we do, folks, to the extent that you give up your freedoms, to that extent you become slaves. And we see what this looks like. They're going to take your land. First, they'll take your guns. Then they'll take your land. Then they will take your life. The First Amendment to the Constitution says you will not do any of these. You will not come after us because of the things that we say in public. You'll not come after us because of the free exercise of religion. Doesn't mean that you can have these beliefs quietly in your closet. No, you can exercise your religious beliefs. And they can't stop it. It doesn't mean anything about the separation of church and state. All that stuff that has been used to suppress the free exercise of religion, to fire coaches because they're praying with students after the game and so forth. As I've said many times, for another 40, 50 years, you had established church religions in Massachusetts, Connecticut, elsewhere. For 170 years after the First Amendment was written, you had in North Carolina the qualification that you could not be an atheist. You had to believe in God in order to run for office in North Carolina. So the First Amendment didn't stop the free exercise of religion, didn't even stop the states from having established religion where you were required to have certain beliefs to run for office, or where you were required, as you were in Massachusetts, to go to church, to give money to a state church. All the original colonies that became the original states all were focused around a particular religion. Some of them were constitutionalists. Some of them were Baptists. Some of them were Quakers. Some of them were Roman Catholic. And they didn't want the federal government coming in and establishing a religion like they have. The religion that they have now established is called secular humanism, where the government is God. And if you want to see how all this stuff is going to play out, just take a look at our allies, Saudi Arabia, that we love so much, that we support in the Yemen war as they take the lives of tens of thousands of people. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. In this hour, we're going to take a look at the Bruce Ohr testimony. What he said, what people are saying about what he said, because it was closed testimony. We've had a lot of Republican congressmen come on the record, as well as President Trump. We're going to take a look at the consequences of Hillary Clinton's emails, the death of many people who are working for the intelligence agencies, maybe all 17 intelligence agencies that say the Russians did it. Actually, no, it was the Chinese who did it. Chinese who did it to these people because They were able to get that information. Why is the deep state not looking after their own, as I said? We see that kind of abandonment with John McCain. And again, in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Ben Garrison, the most famous and definitely the best of all the conservative, libertarian, political cartoonists. He's going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about his column that he did on John McCain. It got so much traffic that his internet host shut down his site for a while. So we've got some interesting news to break with that, just because they said, well, that violates our rules here. So we're going to take a look at what happened with Jim Garrison as he criticized John McCain. But one of the things that really stuck out yesterday, I didn't get to, was the fact that we have the Atlantic Council. This is a group that is affiliated with NATO, the military-industrial complex, the deep state, so forth. The Atlantic Council think tank has accused RT of pro-Republican bias and midterm election coverage. Now, RT talks about this and says, it's fake news. We're not biased towards the Republicans. And maybe they aren't. Who cares? I don't really care. The bottom line is, folks, there is no such thing as an objective press. People who tell you that, as I've said before, people who tell you that they are objective are lying to you. And maybe lying to themselves. They may actually believe that. But the very stories that they choose to pick are going to be influenced by what they believe politically. As I said many times, take a look at the stories that Matt Drudge finds interesting. It's going to show you he doesn't write any of those stories, but he is America's editor. And the stuff that he puts up there, he knows it's going to appeal to a certain perspective. And he puts that up there. Everybody has a bias, and that's fine. Just declare it and argue it. So the problem comes when they say, you can't have this discussion. You can't have this debate. We're not going to allow you to have debate. As I've said many times, I never had any use for the so-called news magazines like Newsweek and Time that pretended to be objective, but they were just establishment mouthpieces. They had a watered-down Mockingbird, Operation Mockingbird, the CIA operation. Approach to everything. I would much rather get people on the left and on the right, listen to The Nation, listen to National Review, hear their debates, have them defend those positions, and make up my own mind. And you should be able to do that as well. So the Atlantic Council has a think tank, the Digital Forensic Research Lab. Well, that sounds very, very official, doesn't it? And they say that the string of articles that RT produced was biased against the Democrats and sympathetic towards the GOP. And so they go through and they tabulate some of this stuff, and according to their objective, they felt that it was strongly negative towards the Democrat Party. So what? Is it a problem? Is the Atlantic Council looking at CNN and saying, CNN is overwhelmingly negative towards Trump and the Republican Party, towards small government and these other issues? They have a bias. We know that CNN has a bias. CNN's ratings have nosedived in double digits just this month. They were already below the Pawn Channel on cable TV. And now they've dropped by double digits. We know that they're biased. That isn't a problem if you know where these people are coming from. You know, they never accused the Atlantic Council, never accused CNN of being pro-Democrat biased, or even of having an anti-Trump bias, and never accused MSNBC or the Washington Post or New York Times or ABC, CBS, NBC. The people who write the CIA's stories from the CIA point of view. We'll be right back.
You found it. It's the real news. From the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Let's take a look at what's going on with CNN and the fake news that has been exposed. As I said before, we have Politico, we have BuzzFeed, we have Glenn Greenwald at The Intercept. A lot of these people who are not Trump supporters by any means are distancing themselves from CNN, from the Washington Post. Even the Washington Post has pulled this back. This was a story that was put out by CNN As Glenn Greenwald points out, he says, CNN credibly accused of lying to its audience about a key claim in a blockbuster Cohen story, refuses to comment. Now they're standing by this. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to see this. The hubris, the arrogance, the lying of CNN. And as Glenn Greenwald points out in his article in The Intercept, he said the substance of the CNN story itself regarding Cohen, which made headline news all over the world, and which CNN hyped as bombshell, that was their term, bombshell information, has now been retracted by other news outlets, all the other news outlets, that originally purported to confirm CNN's story. Yeah, how did they confirm CNN's story? Well, you know, it's CNN. They don't lie, right? They're big name news. They are allowed by Facebook and by the Gulag, and they have Southern Poverty Law Center loves them. And this little Poynter Institute is about, it's a, like a mail order journalism school that holds mail order seminars. It's got about five or six instructors in this small place, small building down in Florida. No, they're the arbiters of truth, truthiness, PolitiFact, and all these people. Oh, yeah, CNN. Oh, that's good. CNN reported. They're real reporters, right? So, yeah, all these other news outlets confirmed CNN's story. Yeah. And as Glenn Greenwald says, it's because the anonymous source for the confirmation was Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, who, as I pointed out yesterday, three terms on the DNC board. He was very, very close to Bill Clinton. As a matter of fact, he was Bill Clinton's special counsel. He represented the White House under Bill Clinton on campaign finance violations that they committed. And so this guy is a Clinton operative, Lanny Davis. And so he goes to CNN, and they report this as anonymous sources. Oh, look, it's Trump colluding with the Russians in this Trump Tower thing. It was all made up. It was phony. As reported last week, Anderson Cooper's consternation as Lanny Davis went on and goes, well, it looks like that wasn't exactly correct. I can't think. Really? Really? I thought that was correct. He knew that Lanny Davis was the source, and other people suspected it. Lanny Davis says, no, no, I'm not the source. And then on Monday, he admitted it. Yeah, I'm the source. I lied about what I said when I gave this information to CNN and the Washington Post. And I lied about being the source. And now CNN is still hanging on to that lie in desperation. That's how desperate they are for this Russian conspiracy theory to be true. And so, as Glenn Greenwald points out, it's because the anonymous source for this confirmation, Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, now admits that, in essence, his confirmation was false. And here's the other thing that's really amazing about this. And he points out that not only did they have an anonymous source, but in order to cover their tracks, they say, well, we talked to Lanny Davis, lawyer for Michael Cohen, and he refused to comment. He didn't refuse to comment. He was your anonymous source, you lying scumbags at CNN. Unbelievable. And yet, Jake Tapper says, this is the golden age of journalism. Well, I hope, Jake, that you got your gold, because I don't know how much longer your network's going to be in business here. Here's Jake Tapper.
Now, here's the second disruption. This one's not as positive. And that is, how are these policy disruptions being implemented? And just from a purely journalistic standpoint, I think it's fair to say that bureaucratically, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but just the idea of how it's functioning, a lot of times these proposals are done impulsively. A lot of times they're done without explaining why they're being done. A lot of times they're done without interagency discussion. A lot of times they're done without any sense of diplomacy. A lot of times they're done without any sort of
sometimes
communication with
facts,
experts or even the cabinet secretaries who are relevant to the policy.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they're built on foundations that are, shall we say, made of sand, whether it is built on lies, facts that are not accurate, or racism in the views of many people.
Oh, racism. That's
or
it. It's all racism.
Callousness, or even just a lack of understanding.
Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that pathetic? These are the people out there who are trying to shut down freedom of the press, your freedom of the speech, who are constantly demanding that Google and Twitter and Facebook shut down entire news organizations, entire news like ours. They're not going to stop with us. We're the first ones that are there because we're the most effective. They want to shut us down. But this pathetic guy has the audacity to say that this is the golden age of journalism because Trump is lying to you. I just told you what they're doing. Going back to their ratings, talking about their golden age that we have here. Just a few days ago, Western Journal pointed out that CNN dropped below Pawn Stars channel. Because nobody's buying what they're trying to pawn off on us, folks. What is somewhat surprising and incredibly laughable is that CNN, the formerly vaunted crown jewel of the establishment media, has sunk so low in the ratings that they are losing out to other basic cable networks. CNN's primetime stars like Anderson Cooper and Chris Cuomo are drawing fewer viewers than the History Channel shows like Pawn Stars, American Pickers, Counting Cars, Mountain Men, and perhaps funniest of all, Ancient Aliens. Well, you know, maybe people are looking at that show, Ancient Aliens, to solve the mystery that CNN couldn't solve with the missing flight MH370, I think it was. You know, remember they said, well, it could have been a spaceship. A little spaceship like, mew, comes in like this. Remember when CNN did that? Oh, thought they wouldn't get any lower than that point. But yeah, they've gotten lower than that point in terms of pushing these lies. And everybody, even the never Trump left-wing media, Politico, BuzzFeed, Intercept, they're looking at them and saying, Washington Post, New York Times, why won't they retract this stuff? Why are they doubling down on this stuff? CNN's own source says that the Michael Cohen story is fake news, but the network stands by it, dumping Lanny Davis under the bus. And they had used him, again, as both the anonymous source and talking to him as the lawyer of Michael Cohen and saying he's got no comment on this. What a bunch of lying scum. Talking about fabrication and lying and then continuing to stand by it. Again, Glenn Greenwald tweets out, CNN has painted itself into a tiny, twisted corner. Is there anyone who doubts that this sentence in its blockbuster story was flat-out false? And here's the sentence. Contacted by CNN, one of Cohen's attorneys, Lanny Davis, declined to comment. Well, that obviously isn't true because he was their source. If it's not false, says Glenn Greenwald, how can they refuse to explain it? Are we fine with a major media deceit if it's in the service of a particular agenda? Yes, yes, that's exactly it. In pursuit of a particular agenda. So people understand where this is happening, and they've not only fallen below the Pawn Stars, but they have dropped double digits in August. As Breitbart points out, CNN lost 12% of its primetime viewers, and they lost 15% of their total day viewers. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Not having a good time during their golden age of journalism, are you, Fake Jake? Not having a good time at all. As Nolte points out at Breitbart, somebody needs to tell Carl Bernstein, because he's also at the center of all this, you know, that vaunted legend of journalism, Carl Bernstein, Woodward and Bernstein. You know the guys who said the cover-up is worse than the crime? The headline here from Breitbart, Nolte says, somebody needs to tell Carl Bernstein that the cover-up at CNN is worse than the crime. They could have pulled this thing back and done a lot less damage to themselves, but no, they decided they would try to cover up their lies. And now we see CNN has no clothes. The emperor has no clothes. Welcome back. You know, we have a report. Roger Stone is saying that Ronan Farrow is preparing a report claiming that Roger Stone knew the contents of WikiLeaks emails before their release. What is this based on? We're right in the middle of looking at this lie that was put out there, this bombshell lie that was put out by the Washington Post and the New York Times and CNN that was based on a fabricated lie by Lanny Davis, a Clinton operative, the lawyer of Michael Cohen, He subsequently walked back the substance of that, but CNN put that out there and said, well, this is an anonymous source who gave us this. And then we asked Lanny Davis, who actually was their anonymous source, and he had no comment. And they're still standing by all of that. And so as we were talking about that yesterday, a lot of people were saying, you know, this whole anonymous source thing is a real problem that we've got here. These people can say anything that they want and say, well, it was an anonymous source, and I got this information from a guy who is very well connected in Washington, or he is a politician or holds office or whatever. So therefore, it must be true. And if you don't identify the source, it's just this anonymous source came out there. And so that is what they're going to be using with this. As Roger Stone says, somebody has been pushing a fake news story. First with the New York Times and the Washington Post, now with Ronan Farrow, the New Yorker. Somebody is saying that they overheard a conversation. Oh, does this sound familiar? Does this sound like the original story from Lanny Davis that was planted in all the media out there? Oh, we overheard a conversation. Or we saw something. And we saw it anonymously, of course. Somebody overheard a conversation where I told Donald Trump in October 2016 what exactly would be in the WikiLeaks disclosures. It would be disclosed. He says it's categorically false. It is the epitome of fake news. And it is the MO of all of these respected and verified outlets, verified by the social media censors, the people who want to control our speech. This is not a golden age of journalism. This is a crisis for free speech and the free press. It's not only a crisis of confidence in their integrity, but it is also a crisis as to whether or not we're going to allow these corporations to take away our ability to see, to hear, and to share information, or whether it's going to be subsumed by a few professionals. You know, that's what the Democrats and Republicans would like to have done with this. And I want to take a look at the pushback against all this, because now we've got Lawrence Kudlow and President Trump paying a lot of attention to this and saying, we're going to do something about this, and something does need to be done about it. But we've got to be very careful what we do about it, because we need to understand, just as I pointed out earlier, the Atlantic Council and NATO and all these other organizations, the right is pushing this kind of censorship as much as the left is. And this is why a lot of these people on the left are starting to eventually wake up to this. We've had Bill Maher and others say, yeah, you know what? This same kind of stuff could be used against us. The socialists had pointed this out a long time ago, that it was going to be used against them. You have to understand that the pressure is coming from the government, just as it is in the UK and in the EU. They are telling these social media companies, you better be prepared to take this stuff down within, I think they gave them 24 hours or something like that, or maybe even less, maybe 2 hours or something. I don't know exactly what the time is, but they gave them a time limit. And they said, if we identify something we don't like, then you're going to cut these people's feed and take this information down within a certain amount of time. Isn't it troubling to see Western governments in Europe, to see politicians in America demanding censorship on their orders in a short period of time? We're all becoming like China. Again, it was Google working with China to censor media critics, to give them a social media score, which Facebook is now doing that. Facebook keeps the life log for you so that DARPA doesn't have to. That's what DARPA called their project, was life log. Oh, we don't need life log. Look, we got Facebook and we can fund them. You know, we got this little nerd over here who couldn't get dates, so he starts rating women, calls it Facebook. Hey, we can take this guy. He doesn't know much. We can lavish a lot of money on him with our venture capital firm, Incutel, with these other firms that we sit on the boards of. You know, they got the CIA people, created their own venture capital firm, and then they had the people who were controlling the CIA and these other intelligence agencies sitting on the boards of these California venture capital firms that just showered Google and Facebook and Twitter with all this venture capital money, and knowing what they would be able to do with this. And that's what they're doing right now. They're lowering the hammer. So this is really a merger of the surveillance state, not just the government, but the surveillance state with these corporations. We've seen it in China. There's no question what they're doing. We see what's happening in Saudi Arabia. They're going to cut that lady's head off. Why? Because of things that she posted on social media. She was nonviolent. She was a critic demanding more human rights for a Muslim minority, a Shiite minority in the Wahhabi country. And again, you know, when that prince, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, is doing his glamour tour, somebody asked him, are you a Wahhabist? This Wahhabism, I do not know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, right. And we know that within the Muslim world, the Shias, the Sunnis, and the Wahhabis are fighting each other as much as they're fighting everybody else. And they're going to execute these people because of their speech. Do we want to have that happen here? The censorship, folks, we have to understand is coming from the government. And if the government comes in and controls these companies, that could be just as bad as what we have now or worse. So we have to be very careful about this. I think they need to be looked at as a utility. That's really what they are. Just as we're not going to allow the electric company to cut off your electricity because they don't like your political beliefs or because they don't like what TV stations you're watching. So they don't get to cut off your electricity or your water. The toll road companies that these politicians are increasingly turning our roads over to. Yeah, that's right. Private ownership of the roads. Not a good idea, especially when they're foreign corporations owning this. Are they going to be able, as I said the other day, are they going to be able to tell you, I don't like that Trump bumper sticker you have. I noticed it as I was scanning your license plate. So we have closed the road to you. Or maybe we've given you a fine. Maybe we have now banned you, you know, from being able to use our toll roads because we don't like the political speech on your bumper. Or maybe they don't like your Bernie Sanders bumper sticker. Maybe you got to go with Hillary or with the Bush in order to ride on their toll road. That's coming. And we have people like Gary Johnson completely clueless about what was happening. Remember when they had the Supreme Court case of the baker who was not throwing people out of his bakery? He would sell them stuff if they came in. But if they come in and say, we want you to create a celebration of our homosexual wedding. And he goes, well, I'm a Christian. I don't want to do that. Oh, you're going to have to do that. And Gary Johnson came out and said, he can't do that. It's like a utility company saying they're not going to offer power to it. No, this is like a utility company. These social media companies are like utility companies, and they should not be allowed to determine who they're going to be able to buy and sell stuff based on content. But the Republicans are pushing that content scrutiny just as much as the Democrats, as the Chinese, as the EU, as the UK. They're all looking at content, and they all want to control content. Welcome back. Let's take a look at the collusion that is happening between fake news, CNN, and the fake search engine, Gulag, Google, also known as Google. As Breitbart points out, and it was one of the top links on the Drudge Report, but the top Google news story says, CNN says Google News isn't rigged. The circular support of these people colluding with each other, lying to everybody and saying, we're not lying to you. We're not rigging the results. Or we're being truthful. As Breitbart points out, when users visit Google News's top stories section in the United States, the top headline yesterday afternoon was a CNN article titled, Trump slams Google search as rigged. But it's not, says CNN. Oh, yes. Anything that Trump says, CNN will say, not so, not so. And we've got an anonymous source to tell us so. The story is fluctuating between the top and the second spot as of the time of this writing yesterday afternoon. After a report revealed this week that Google News results for the term Trump were overwhelmingly left-wing, with CNN being the most linked news outlet, followed by the New York Times, the Guardian, the Washington Post, BBC, USA Today, CNBC, and Huffington Post. None of those people have a political bias, right? Again, there is no such thing as objective news. No such thing. So Google is lying to you when they say that. A search engine could be objective, and I'm going to show you here in just a moment. I talked about this story yesterday and the fact that no conservative sources were present. So when you do a search on President Trump, you get stories from all these left-wing organizations, especially CNN, and nothing from conservative news organizations. Because every news organization has a political bias. They're lying to you. They're lying to themselves if they say otherwise. Understand what that bias is, and you don't have to disregard their information. They might have something to say. You have to go to CNN if you want to know what the Democrat politicians are saying. And you have to go to Fox if you want to know what the Republicans are saying. Doesn't mean you have to believe what the Republican and Democrat politicians are saying or what Fox and CNN has to say. It's just where they're going to go to hang out because that's their PR stations. You don't discount something because of the source. Nevertheless, there is no such thing as an objective source. And I pointed out yesterday how Paul Joseph Watson and many of us have talked about, look, I can type in the title of my video or my article or whatever, and Google won't find it, but other search engines will. Now, of course, none of the search engines will find it because Gulag has flushed my videos down the memory hole. But there's an article at New American, and I want you to memorize this headline. Memorize this headline. Google is not a search engine. Twitter and Facebook aren't social media. Let me repeat that again so that you can memorize this. Google is not a search engine. Twitter and Facebook aren't social media. That is very, very important. This is from the New American. Selwyn Duke wrote this. He said, that's the headline, a little-known truth that should be shouted from the mountaintops. It should be shouted to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey by our Congress representatives when he testifies before them on September the 5th. And then he talks about the very same thing I was talking about yesterday, how if you know the exact title of your article or your video, whatever, Google won't present it to you. But you can go to another search engine like DuckDuckGo and you'll find it. And so he says, I was looking for pieces that I had written at the New American about school children punished for innocent play, such as pointing their finger like a gun and saying bang. So I went to Google and I entered search terms and phrases. Selwyn Duke pointed fingers like a gun, said bang, the New American, and I clicked the search button and nothing. Nothing relevant from the New American anyway on any page that I checked. So I knew that Google was playing games, as I had had a similar experience before. So I scrolled to the bottom of the page where Google says, in order to show you the most relevant results, we have omitted some entries that are very similar to the 22 already displayed. If you like, you can repeat the search with the omitted results included. So I clicked the link, and lo and behold, one of my articles was at the very top of the first page. So I thought, well, why are they excluding this? And again, as I pointed out, you can type in, if you know the headline of your article, if Google doesn't like the content, they will hide it. Even if you type in the exact headline, they will hide it from you. And he said, the kicker is when I put in the same terms and phrases into the search engine DuckDuckGo, whose database is far smaller than Google's, five relevant results immediately appeared. DuckDuckGo. Remember that. One of the things that you can do is refuse to be their product because you are their product. When the service is free, as I've said for a very long time, many people have said this, if the service is free, you are the product. You are the product of Google. You have willingly gone into their gulag, into their ghetto, as Matt Drudge calls it, and you've become their little cash cow. So avoid using them. I have for quite some time now. I go to DuckDuckGo, and you can support DuckDuckGo as well. Note that a reader contacted me earlier this month and said that he had an identical experience searching for one of my articles. And as the reader wrote, Google pretty much has put your article down the memory hole. Well, welcome to the club. They put everything that I put up for the last 6 years down the memory hole. We still have it. It'll take a while for it to get back up. Just had somebody ask me, you know, I saw this interview that you had. I really would like to get those. You referenced an interview that you did with Hugo de Garis on the Ardalic War. I was talking to Tim Alberino about the conference that's coming up September 14th. By the way, I'm going to be a keynote speaker there, and if you want to get live streaming for that, you can save 10% with the code Alex if you go to gensix.com. That's G-E-N-S-I-X.com. We're going to be talking about transhumanism, about the hybrid age, about what the ultimate goal of companies like Google is. They're not interested in merely controlling the internet and cyberspace. They want to control physical space. They've got a city that they're working on right now up in Toronto. Alphabet's Sidewalk Labs. Yeah, think about that. You're going to be doing a lot of walking if they have their way, because they're going to ban cars and they're going to track everywhere that you go. They're going to track your garbage. You're going to be their product. They're going to follow you everywhere. And again, this goes back to what the governments want. This is why I'm concerned when I see the government saying we're going to regulate them. We've got to be very careful about that. The fastest growing part of our intelligence for the last 20 years, it's where James Clapper hung out. That's how he rose through the ranks of the Intelligence Committee, was geospatial intelligence. Geospatial intelligence. They want to map your activity, activity-based intelligence, ABI. They want to dominate the human domain, not just cyberspace. They call it human domain analytics. As a matter of fact, the slogan on Jade Helm, when they said, well, we're going to have exercises here. Well, they never did any kinetic exercises, so we could tell. They did, however, keep note of everybody that had a problem with them doing these kinds of kinetic exercises. The slogan was master the human domain, and they have human domain analytics so that they can do that. And Google is a part of that. That's what that whole city, the smart city agenda coming from the United Nations, it is a globalist agenda. And so we're going to be talking about that at that conference. I was talking to Tim Albarino about that, and somebody said, you know, Hugo de Garis is going to be there as well. I've talked to him many times about his book called The Artelect War. That is what I'm more concerned about than the Terminator scenario. I'm far more concerned about billionaires having so much power, being so connected to the military-industrial complex that just a few people could wage war on America if we decide that we want to put some limitations on them. I mean, that sounds like a conspiracy theory. I mean, who would ever think that Google and Apple and Facebook would all ban a news organization within 12 hours? That's the kind of raw power that they have. What if they start using their autonomous killer robots that they own? Google owns most of the robot companies here. And Hugo de Garis has talked about that. He calls it the artificial intelligence wars, Artelect wars, concentrating the power into the hands of just a few people. I remember when I was a kid, and I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, they modified for the movies, they modified the Ian Fleming James Bond novels. It used to be, you know, Cold War strategies back and forth from Russia and love, from Russia with love and so forth. And then it became all these, you know, they didn't want to make it about Russia and America, so they had these supervillains, these billionaires with their underground armies and volcanoes and stuff. And it's like, this doesn't look too far from what we've got or may be getting pretty soon with Google and Bezos and the rest of these people. Anyway, we're going to get back to social media in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Take a look at Chris Cuomo accusing President Trump of dividing us with claims, false claims, he says, of censorship. Yeah, it didn't happen. After CNN was leading the charge, demanding that we be censored here, that the entire news organization be taken down. I was taken down by Google without ever having had a single strike against me. Never had a single complaint. And I still have not had a single complaint. I've had no explanation. I have gotten about 2,200 emails from Google. Spam, bot, censorship is what it is. A complaint has been filed. Wouldn't say what the complaint was. Was I hateful? Was I violent? Was I obscene? You know how filthy my mouth can be here, right? Was any of those things? What video was this about? Took me down in the middle of a live broadcast one Monday. The Monday after they took down the rest of these things here at Alex's channels and so forth. It's guilt by association. Wasn't for any content that I put up. And again, a channel that I'd had up for years. I hadn't put anything on there for years. Took that down as well. Videos that had been up there with no strikes, nothing. Taken down. They make the rules. They don't even have to follow the rules. I set up a channel a few days later. No connections to InfoWars. David Knight Show on YouTube. They took that down after just two videos. I thought it was a three-strike policy. How could they take that down with just two videos if they have a three-strike policy? But I've never even tried to shame these people, the humans there. At Team YouTube, multiple times on Twitter, I can't get them to even respond to the appeal that I filed. They won't give me any video or any reason whatsoever. They just took it down. And so CNN said, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, it is a conspiracy, but it's a conspiracy reality. So they come after President Trump. I'm going to play you the absurd clip from Chris Cuomo. They really should get somebody that's a little bit more intelligent to do their dirty work. But of course, these people, again, after they've been caught red-handed lying about this whole Lanny Davis, Michael Cohen thing, that they still can't bring themselves to admit it. The rest of the left-wing media realizes what is happening with this, and they're walking back from that. Before we get to that, real quickly, I just want to remind you of what supports this program, and that is the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new sale on BodEase, 50% off. After a long wait, we finally have enough stock to bring you BodEase at 50% off. And, of course, a key ingredient in this, and the reason we call it BodEase, is because we have turmeric in it. A massive amount of turmeric in it. Turmeric is very well documented as an anti-inflammatory. So it's going to ease your body, ease the pain that comes from inflammation. You can get that now at 50% off. And also, for the listeners of this program, we have an early morning program. So we thought it'd be good to give you an offer on Wake Up America. You can wake up with real news. And it was a few weeks ago, I guess. I had the article. They'd actually done a study of people taking a test, a graduate entrance exam test. And they found that even the smell of coffee could make them do much better on an exam. Can you imagine if you actually drank the stuff and it tasted good? Well, you can do all of that with Wake Up America. You can actually smell the coffee. You can drink the coffee. You can like the coffee. It's 100% Arabica blend, and it is non-GMO. And you can save 20%. Just use the code REALNEWS at checkout to save 20% off of either the original or the immune support blend of Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just for the audience of this show, Real News, use the code REALNEWS. All right, Statistica.com has a chart here. And the headline is, Facebook scandal erodes trust in social media companies. And they talk about how over the last 6 months, since all this stuff came out about Cambridge Analytica, that they're trust has plummeted, and they are less trusted than banks, less trusted than the DMV, less trusted than the IRS or your cell phone provider. And there at the bottom is social media. 37% of the people say they have, they're not at all trusting or confident in those institutions. Only 27% are. And when I look at this, they trace this back to the Cambridge Analytica thing. Well, you know, that wasn't anything that was really new, quite frankly. We knew that they were collecting everybody's information. They were monetizing that, as we said before. If you are getting this stuff for free, you are the product. People are surprised at how Google continues to track you, even when you say, don't track me. They still do it on their Android operating system, on their Google Maps. They will still track you, and they'll still record it, even when you say, no, don't do it. They were told not to do it. They did it anyway. You got somebody suing them. Their response was to change the terms of service agreement, not to stop tracking you. They're not going to stop tracking you. And so when we look at this, we knew that Facebook and these other companies were doing it. We had Barack Obama's social media campaign person brag about how they had used it very effectively to benefit his campaign. The left didn't have a problem with that. When they found out that the right was doing it, when they found out that somebody was using it for the Trump campaign, then they freaked out. Can you imagine the surprise of the left when they realize at some point in the future that these corporations that they think are on their side and should be given all this power are now going to be censoring and controlling the search results and the social media content for people on the left? Can you imagine how surprised they'll be about that? It's going to be the same sort of thing. All these people out there who are cheering corporate censorship and the merger of these giant corporations with big government. They're cheering that on. All these people on the left who used to tell us that they were free speech, they're cheering that on. Can you imagine when they're on the receiving end of it? Just like it's going to be the same thing that happened with Cambridge Analytica. What? What? This is being used by conservatives to control people? Oh, can't have that. We have people at Facebook. A conservative was actually Facebook. And as New York Times points out, dozens at Facebook, dozens, thousands, unite to challenge the intolerant liberal culture. But they had a point. The post went up quietly on Facebook's internal message board last week, titled, "We have a problem with political diversity." And it quickly took off. inside the social network. And here's what it had to say. An engineer, Brian Amerigi, I guess is the way he pronounced his name, a senior Facebook engineer, said we have a political monoculture. Ooh, that's good. A political monoculture. Remember that from today's show. It's a political monoculture of intolerance. And remember that Google is not a search engine and that Twitter and Facebook are not social media. Just remember those three things from today's program and you'll get an A for tomorrow. Anyway, he says, we are a political monoculture that is intolerant of different views. We claim to welcome all perspectives, but we are quick to attack, often in mobs, anyone who presents a view that appears to be in opposition to left-leaning ideology. I wonder how much longer that senior Facebook engineer is going to have his job. Since the post went up, more than 100 Facebook employees have joined him to form an online group called Facebookers for Political Diversity. Wouldn't that be nice if you had that? Wouldn't it be nice if you had something like neutrality? We keep hearing all the time in that struggle about whether or not we're going to have net neutrality. And we said, well, you know, that's not really what it is. That's really not what we're talking about. And all these people who are pushing for it, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, are pushing for net neutrality. They're really just pushing for an economic advantage because they're not neutral in their content. We've said that throughout the entire debate on this. They don't support net neutrality. And they're still saying this. They're saying your internet service providers should not censor you, but we can. And that's what's really going on with this. Let's take another look at their hypocrisy. We got Twitter suspending more accounts for, listen to this, engaging in coordinated manipulation. Are you kidding me? When in a 12-hour period, you have Facebook, Apple, and Google censor everything that is associated with Alex Jones and InfoWars. In a 12-hour period, Twitter is suspending hundreds of accounts for engaging in coordinated manipulation. What hypocrisy. Twitter says that they have suspended 284 accounts for engaging in coordinated manipulation. They have banned a further 486 accounts for sharing divisive commentary. Oh, yeah. Divisive commentary. Not even hate speech anymore. It's just divisive. That makes a total of 770 accounts that have been banned from the platform in the last 2 weeks for what Twitter says is manipulation. The hypocrisy. Now, Twitter can ban you. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, can ban you. But not President Trump. Can't ban people off of his Twitter account, his personal Twitter account, real Donald Trump that he had before he became president. There is an official government Twitter account, the POTUS account. But you had a activist judge, U.S. District Judge Naomi Buchwald in Manhattan. Where else? Ruling back in May. And we talked about the hypocrisy of this back in May, saying that the president's account is a public forum. Oh, and you can't take stuff down from a public forum. Oh, really? I thought that I was just taken down from a public forum. That's kind of interesting. And, of course, the president can't block trolls off of his personal account. Those people would still be on Twitter. They could still say anything that they wanted to about President Trump, just not directed at him, so he had to see it. Judge says, no, you can't do that. And so some of the people that were involved in the lawsuit, he restored it. He unblocked them in June. Then there's another 41 accounts that was brought to their attention by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. No affiliation with me. I actually am a Knight who does support the First Amendment. Why isn't this Knight First Amendment on our side in this site? Hypocrites.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
So where is all of this going? I'm going to play for you when we come back in the next segment, because this top of the hour is a news break for radio stations. I want to make sure that they're back. I want everybody to hear what Chris Cuomo said, and we're going to dissect what he had to say. And then we're going to hear from Larry Kudlow, who is saying, we're going to be taking a look at what these people are doing. They're ready to do something. And that's good. Something does need to be done. But we have to be very careful what we do about this. There's an article up at Reason.com by Nick Gillespie. And he says, why the fading credibility of Pope Francis should worry more than just Catholics. And he says, depletion of trust and confidence in public and private institutions is happening across the board. And if we're not careful, it leads to more, not less, government. See, the North Star on any kind of action taken against these social media censors, this corporate fascism, this merging of government and media and social media companies to drive out their competition instead of allowing a free discussion, a free market of ideas. The North Star on this political compass has to be liberty, free speech, if they make it anything else. And if we start coming in and regulating them without very narrow and specific guidelines about things that we want to take out, if it's going to be ISIS videos cutting people's heads off, we understand we don't want to see that. It's kind of like shouting fire in a crowded theater. But we have to be very, very careful and very, very narrow in that definition. And if we aren't, we're going to wind up with less freedom of speech, and we're going to wind up with more government, and we're going to wind up with more corruption. And as he points out in the article, he says, nobody can tell exactly how much the abuse scandals hurt the turnout for Pope Francis in Ireland. Well, actually, you can. It's down about 90% if you look at the crowds that they had at exactly the same place when Pope John Paul was there compared to where it was with this guy. But he has a quote here from a couple of articles, from a couple of authors. And he said, in low-trust countries, citizens support government regulation, fully recognizing that such regulation leads to corruption. In other words, they know that this is going to lead to corruption and control, but they still support it. Isn't that strange? There's a lot of contradictions in the human condition here, don't we? As an example, they point to differing attitudes towards government-mandated wages in former socialist countries that transitioned into market economies. They said approximately 92% of Russians and 82% of East Germans favor wage control. And they named two low-trust populations to do that. So, you know, here's East Germany and Russia when they were socialist. They said, well, we want the government to control wages. Now, they knew that the government was corrupt. They didn't trust the media. You know, that's the interesting thing about it. Even in Russia, where they had no free media, really freedom of, when I say free media, it was free to them. They didn't have to pay for it. Well, it did cost them their freedom. But they had a couple of news organizations, Pravda and Izvestia. You know, Pravda meant truth, Izvestia meant news. And they said, well, there's no, you know, truth or news in either one of those. They knew that it wasn't real. When you control speech, you're still not fooling people. But they said in Scandinavia, Great Britain, North American countries, where there's higher levels of trust in the public and private sectors, less than half of the population wants those kinds of controls. So people will support control that they know will actually cost them their freedom. They will actually increase corruption. That won't work. And we can see that already in America. Take a look at the TSA, for example. Prime example of that. We know that the TSA doesn't work. They won't tell us what their internal tests, where they try to slip somebody by the scanners and the inspectors and everything. But we know from what they've said, well, no, it's more than 80%. Well, is it more than 90? Yeah, you're getting close. It's still up. So we know that well over 90% of the tests fail when they try to get people. We know that their own internal documents say that there's no threat against airports or airplanes back in 2011. Yet we still demand that they do more of it. That's the insanity here. Stay with us. We're going to take a look at Chris Cuomo and What Might Be Done by Lawrence Kudlow. He's talking about this.
Found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Joining us at the bottom of the hour is going to be Ben Garrison, the best and I think one of the most famous of the libertarian, conservative, Trump movement political cartoonists. He's going to be joining us to talk about a couple of things that have happened to him in the last couple of days. As he wrote about John McCain, had some biting political commentary, verbal this time, in addition to his political cartoon. So he'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. At the last segment, I was just talking about this article from Reason Magazine, Nick Gillespie, saying we're entering a very dangerous time here because we're seeing the depletion of trust and confidence in institutions that are both public and private. And when this happens, people will embrace more government control, even if they know that it's not going to work, even if they know that it's going to result in corruption. And folks, this is another example of why we're entering a very dangerous crisis period. I really agree with the analysis done by Strauss and Howe, The Fourth Turning. And they point out that every 80 years or so, we have a massive change in society. And we are approaching that point in time. As a matter of fact, we already have entered a fourth turning. That's why we're seeing the loss in trust and confidence. That's why we're seeing the polarization that we see between the different political groups. And we have to be very careful, because there's going to be politicians like Elizabeth Warren that are going to come out with their solutions. As their headline, this is a great headline, Atlas Mugged, referring to Atlas Shrugged. Elizabeth Warren's plan to nationalize corporations. And as we look at the censorship that's being done by these large corporations, and it's being cheered by the left, that has always been concerned about corporations having undue effect on our elections. Remember how they were upset about Citizens United and that Supreme Court decision? They said, well, you're saying that corporations are like people and they can contribute to political campaigns? And it's like, now they're applauding the censorship of the biggest corporations that the world has ever seen. And not only that, it's not just the biggest corporation the world has ever seen, but three of the biggest corporations the world has ever seen colluding together to come after this small news outlet here. What are they so afraid of? They're trying to manipulate the election in a far bigger way than they could ever do with Citizens United. And yet the left is applauding it because they think in this particular election it's going to work to their advantage, and it will if they get away with it. That's why President Trump is paying attention to it. That's why Lawrence Kudlow is talking about it. But we have to be careful, because when we come after these corporations, it might result in something like Elizabeth Warren is pushing. As I point out in this Zero Hedge article, Senator Elizabeth Warren and her proposed Accountable Capitalism Act. It's straight out of Atlas Shrugged. She proposes to regulate corporations that have a gross revenue of $1 billion or more, requiring them to obtain a federal corporate charter as a United States corporation. They would be regulated by a bureaucracy under the Office of United States Corporations. These corporations must be operated to create a general public benefit, and they must consider how their profit-making activities affect not only their shareholders, but their employees and their suppliers and the community and the societal factors and the local and global environment. Wow. Wow. At least 40% of the board of directors must be elected by the workers. And if they wish to support a political candidate, they must have approval of 75% of the board. Now, we don't want to see this happen. I don't even want to see this happen with Google. I want to see neutrality, real net neutrality, not just the phony brand that's being put out there by Google and Facebook and Twitter, as they want to get political advantage over the ISPs, economic advantage over the ISPs. I want to see real net neutrality. Let's say that since these people are public forums, that just like a utility company, just like a toll road, they shouldn't be deciding who can ride on their roads or who can get their electricity because they don't like your content. Let's just keep it simple. Instead, we have the government out there demanding that they censor certain people, certain types of things, and they're very vague about what they demand and say, why is this InfoWars article trending? I need to know, ask the congressman or the senator from Facebook or Twitter or Google. And he says, I want to know why that is. We're going to have to talk about this in private afterwards. And then you see us taken down completely. We don't want that being pushed by the government. We don't want that kind of corporate fascism. We don't want that merger of corporations and government. And I don't want the government intruding itself into the free market. We need to have a freer market, not more government controls. That's what's really concerning about this. I'll read you one more quote from this. This is proposed takeover of corporations by the government. It is a power grab. It is the socialist path to hell. And I say this based on the tenets, the economics, and the history of socialism. Atlas Mugged. That's the article on Zero Hedge. So let's go to Chris Cuomo, who says that all this talk about censorship, even though CNN has been at the center pushing this, again, contacting even after InfoWars and Alex Jones was taken down by Apple and by Facebook and by Google within a couple of hours. Then CNN gets on the horn with Twitter. Why haven't you taken him down from Twitter yet? Why haven't you taken him down? And then he calls this a conspiracy theory, and he criticizes Trump, saying that Trump is trying to divide us. Here is Chris Cuomo. Unbelievable.
President Trump has a new way to avoid McCain's legacy and Mueller's reach. A hot notion that Google is out to get him. Now, he's choosing fertile ground to launch a conspiracy. Shadow banning and legitimate questions about the search engine, Google, and other major platforms that go to our privacy and their algorithms and their larger responsibility to protect our democracy, all legit. Not to mention why I get ads for all kinds of supplements when I'm emailing my friends about Fight Class. There's a lot going on that we have to know more about.
The supplements,
question.
It's not the big pharmaceutical stuff that they sell.
What is the proof of the president's pernicious plot with Google? Here's his pitch.
I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge. So I think that Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population.
Sound indefinite, more feeling than fact? That's because it is. It's actually almost completely devoid of any fact of apparent insight. But then, what do we learn? It was on Fox last night, and the president tweeted just this morning. What a coinkydink. The charge is that when you Google Trump, it shows, if you look for Trump news, it shows mostly negative results. Frankly, I'd be more suspicious if the cash came back mostly positive. The basis for the Fox frenzy is a lone article from PJ Media, a conservative website. But what a headline they put out. 96% of Google search results for Trump news are from liberal media outlets. But if you read past that, the methodology, the writer typed Trump news into Google on a bunch of computers.
All right, let's hold it. That's all I can take of him. Can you imagine, just on the same day that even left-leaning anti-Trump outlets like New York Times, Washington Post, BuzzFeed, Politico are criticizing CNN because they got caught lying to people with their conspiracy theories attacking Trump, so desperate to attack Trump, they come out and say, there's no conspiracy. There's no censorship by Google. I just read for you in the last hour. Yet another individual saying, hey, I can't find my articles on Google, but I can find them on other search engines. And of course, Google has CNN's back, and CNN has Google's back. They're going to support each other. This is the kind of corporate collusion and the collusion that is happening with the Democrat Party and these corporations like Google, like Facebook, like Apple, who are colluding with foreign governments like China. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. But I want to take another look at Lawrence Kudlow and just restate that what we need is less government provocation to censorship, not more. We need to make sure that if there's going to be any regulation of these people, that it is one that makes them more neutral, not making more demands on what they have to shut down and how quickly they have to do it, which is what we're now seeing from Western governments. So Western governments are the problem. They have embraced the model of the Chinese communists in using these corporations as their velvet glove over their iron fist of censorship. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
President Trump says, I think what Google and others are doing, if you look at what's going on with Twitter, if you look at what's going on with Facebook, they better be careful because you can't do that to people. You can't do it. I think that Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population. And he's exactly right. So you have Chris Cuomo out there saying, oh, this is all a conspiracy theory. Google's not doing anything to anybody. And you have people like Jonathan Swan saying, well, it looks like President Trump is all fired up because he saw a PJ Media article. Well, yeah, he saw that article, sure, but he has seen what happened to InfoWars and Alex Jones. He's seen the shadow banning by Twitter. He's seen the overt banning by Google and others, and how they have, and we've documented this over and over again. It's not just that single story. It's people, this is all that people on the right have been talking about for the last couple of weeks. It is a big issue because it is a manipulation not only of your free speech, not only of the free press, but it is also an effort to manipulate the media and to do it for business purposes. CNN is cheerleading this on and then saying there's a conspiracy here. And so we're supposed to believe that Google and Twitter and Facebook are not public forums. But President Trump's Twitter account is a public forum. How can that be? Only in the twisted mind of the left can you have that kind of cognitive dissonance. That Twitter is not a public forum. And so we can't say that they can't censor people. But President Trump's own personal account on Twitter is a public forum. So he can't do anything about that. Do you see how strange that is? That is the mentality of the left. And so now we have Larry Kudlow. And he joined in yesterday by saying this. Let's play that clip.
Larry, the president said this morning he's unhappy, separate topic, with Google and the search results that are coming up. And he said that there could be consequences coming Google's way. Does the president believe, or does the administration feel, that there needs to be some form of regulation for Google? Or what exactly was the president referring to?
We'll let you know. We're taking a look at it. We'll let you know.
We'll let you know. We're taking a look at it. They better take a look at it, because it is an overt banning. It is an overt attempt to manipulate the election. And CNN is at the center of all this. They have taken the most reprehensible approach to destroying free speech that I've ever seen a news media organization take in history. They will go down in history for this, believe me, one way or the other. And now even the left is looking at them and saying, these people have absolutely no credibility at all. I can't believe that they did this stuff with Lanny Davis, referring to using him as an anonymous source, not validating what he had to say. He admitted that what he told them as an anonymous source was a lie. Then they pretended that he wasn't the source and underscored that by lying to people and saying, well, we contacted him for comment on what this anonymous source had to say, and he had no comment. Right, just unbelievable. Everybody else has pulled back on this except them. Let's take a look at the other parts of this conspiracy to manipulate elections, past and future. As President Trump said, Hillary Clinton's emails, many of which are classified information, got hacked by China. Next move better be by the FBI or the Department of Justice, or, after all their other missteps, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Orr, FISA, dirty dossier, etc., their credibility will be forever gone. See, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, we have the DNC corruption and the collusion that happened. That's why you had a whistleblower within the DNC say, hey, look at the way that Hillary Clinton rigged this thing against Bernie Sanders. They expose it. So Hillary Clinton says, look at how this information got out. I think it was the Russians. Pay attention to that. Don't read the actual stuff that was leaked about the dirty tricks that we played. So she misdirects, just like Chris Cuomo did. Right? Misdirects. This is the approach of the liars and the crooks. You have CNN and the Washington Post and the FBI and the CIA all colluding. All these government agencies, these media companies, all colluding with foreign spies out of the UK. But then they say, oh, I think there's foreign collusion between Trump and the Russians. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Don't look at this other stuff over here. You have the Gulag, Google and Facebook, working with China. And they're hacking everything. They're hacking all these different federal databases of personnel and so forth. You've had the CIA, you've had the NSA hacked. You have the Chinese are getting into the Federal Reserve minutes and notes and everything. But then they say, oh, you know, don't pay any attention to that. It's the Russians who are going to hack the election. Always misdirecting stuff. But as we pointed out, it has now become evident that not only were her emails hacked, but as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I'll remind you again, 18 to 20 CIA spies were killed and imprisoned after Hillary Clinton's private server was penetrated by the Chinese. And so when you put those two things together, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I had missed the report from Louis Gohmert back on July 12th at the House Committee talking about how the Chinese had gotten into Hillary Clinton's unsecured private email. It's pretty easy to find, just Hillary email or ClintonEmails.com, right? And so Two Pundit talked about this 6 weeks ago. They picked it up when Louis Gohmert talked about it. And this is what they actually did. Chinese company, Chinese-owned company in Washington, D.C., hacked into Hillary Clinton's private server, throughout her term as Secretary of State. And that's exactly when these people were killed and imprisoned, from 2010 to 2012. The Chinese government killed or imprisoned 18 to 20 CIA operatives in China. Now, we've been told that we couldn't see any of the information that came out of the House Intelligence Committee because it might compromise tactics and it might compromise personnel. So we got to keep all this stuff secret. And there wasn't anything there. Actually, there wasn't anything that we didn't already know, couldn't figure out from, you know, doing investigation and seeing what people were saying and so forth. We knew all that information, but it just verified it along with testimony. When President Trump declassified that without redaction, we could see that the only thing that they were trying to cover was their butts. It wasn't the CIA they were trying to protect. It was CYA operation. And yet they always use this beard. Oh, people are going to die. And yet people did die because of Hillary Clinton and the Department of Justice and the FBI and the CIA. They're not interested in that. They don't care. Don't care about it. Don't bother them with it. They got a political agenda that's more important. Just like John McCain had his own personal political agenda, and he didn't want to look at the 700 POWs and MIAs that were left behind in Vietnam. Yeah, don't bother him with that. And so when we look at this, the fact that it's a Chinese-owned company is one of the reasons why Huawei, I think is the way you pronounce it. I'm not sure. It's a big Chinese corporation. They're trying to get a foothold here in Australia and so forth. And the American government, the Australian government says, no, 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 you're not going to run that 5G network. We're going to be the ones spying on Americans. Only us, not the Chinese government as well. We should be concerned about that. Anyway, this Chinese firm was getting Hillary Clinton's emails in real time. This is the most classified stuff we have. It's above top secret. Most of this stuff doesn't have to be classified. It's above top secret. It's her conversations with foreign leaders and so forth as Secretary of State. And they're getting it in real time. The Chinese wrote code that was embedded in her server that was kept at her residence in upstate New York. The code generated an instant courtesy copy for nearly all of her emails and forwarded them to the Chinese company. But we don't have to be worried about that, right? As President Trump sarcastically said, Hillary Clinton's emails were hacked and so forth. He says, are they sure it wasn't the Russians? Oh, I'm just kidding. He says, well, what are the odds that the FBI and the Department of Justice are on top of this? Actually, this is a very big story. Much classified information. And President Trump needs to combine this with the fact that...
Let's make government small enough to fit in the Constitution. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is Ben Garrison. And of course, you have seen his cartoons. You've seen them on InfoWars. You've seen them on Twitter and other social media, even though we said it at the beginning of the broadcast. You need to remember this. Google is not a search engine, and Facebook and Twitter are not social media. Still, you will find his stuff listed everywhere, and he does great cartoons. He got started in this, I think, tell us, and after the banker bailout, started doing pro Ron Paul cartoons, but he does a great job with political cartoons, and he is based in Montana, and I am very envious that somebody can put out the kind of pictures that he is. Follow him on Twitter. He's at Graphics. It's G-R-R-R Graphics is his handle there on Twitter. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll see these beautiful pictures that he takes of Montana where he is able to do his work. One of the most recent ones was off the back of a horse, back in the saddle. Boy, that is just absolutely beautiful, Ben. So joining us now is Ben Garrison. And Ben, I wanted to talk to you about this article you had, because typically we think of you as writing cartoons, but you wrote an article here about our favorite person, you and I, in Washington, John McCain. Of course, he is a favorite person of everybody else in Washington, except for you, me, and President Trump.
Yeah, I wrote that article. Actually, you know, when he died, I didn't. Some people thought I had a pre-drawn cartoon in the tank, and I didn't. And I wasn't going to draw one. You know, they say, don't speak ill of the dead. Well, I'm going to give him a break, let him die in peace, and I'm not going to say anything. But when I began seeing and hearing the deep state propaganda organs telling us that we must paying our respects to this great patriot and maverick and straight shooter. And I kept hearing it all day, and I kept getting more and more angry. I said, well, the heck with this. I'm going to draw an anti-McCain cartoon and showing him as he truly was in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that angry person.
I was going to do a eulogy for him, but the eulogy was covered in so much blood I couldn't read it.
You know, that's my eulogy for him. And I dashed out pretty quick, and I wrote a 10-point little essay right out of my memory. But I left a lot of stuff out in retrospect. And I did, you know, he was a member of the Keating Five. Nobody remembers that SNL scandal.
That's right.
Where, you know, he was getting all kinds of campaign funding from the guy who ran Lincoln Savings and Loan, James Keating. Anyway, I drew it and threw it out there, and it really hit a nerve. Some people really hated it and said, "How dare you do this? This great man!" And other people say, "Yeah, finally somebody is saying it like it is," because a lot of people out there like me just despise the Maverick.
Well, he was a polarizing figure, wasn't he? And he polarized a lot of countries into civil war. He left a lot of death and chaos in his wake, because in his vain imagination, this guy who wanted to be Caesar, he crossed the Rubicon in a lot of different countries, and he left a lot of people dead in his wake. That's why I said his eulogy is just covered in blood.
He was a big warmonger. He said he wanted to stay in Iraq for 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I see him as a male Hillary almost. That's how inextricably tied he is to the deep state. He does the deep state's bidding, and he loves war. But he still fancies himself as this phony independent American, which he's not. He was a Soros man like Hillary, who basically did wait. Well, why did he do this if he was a maverick? Well, I have some thoughts on that too. I think they really help cover up his past.
Yeah.
And his past is very sordid. It starts when he went to Annapolis, and you know this is why nepotism has a bad name. His father and grandfather were both four-star admirals, so he got to skate into Annapolis on their coattails. And the first thing he did was he thought it was funny to break all the rules. He joined the Century Club and broke, you know, like 100. He got 100 demerits. He finished almost at the rock bottom of his class. I think it was like 880 people. He was like fifth on the bottom. But it tells you his character right from the get-go. What would he do? Well, he would go climb over the wall. He would go AWOL from Annapolis to go out drinking. And that was a great sport for him. He liked to you know, he's a rule breaker. So he liked to basically stab Annapolis in the back and go out and have a party. He was a party animal. All right. Well, you know, he got into the he became an aviator, and you know, he was breaking the rules there. He didn't really have a great love for flying. He did it just for show, so he could be you know, this top gun and go out go out to nightclubs and pick up the ladies because he's a big deal pilot. That's what was it about for him. But then we see his career in the Navy. He crashed, I think he crashed three planes. Some say it was two, but that, it was really three, because he crashed his trainer plane when he was learning to fly. But they didn't put that on the record.
He also claimed that it was equipment failure. And then they said, no, it was pilot not paying attention and so forth. So there were multiple investigators who contradicted that plane, but that claim. But then he stuck by that.
He put that in his biography. In Spain, he flew one plane into power lines, just being a daredevil, because you know he was a spoiled brat, and he wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. So that's what he did. And now the Forrestal was kind of the sea change for him, though, in this respect, because this was a big deal. You know, I forgot how many sailors died. It was over 100 and 100 injured. A lot of sailors died, and due to his what they call a wet start, he flamed out on the pilot behind him, whom he didn't like. He had a lot of anger issues, and he was mad at the pilot behind him, and so he started this wet start, and of course his deep state you know, masters are doing their best to, they did their best to cover that up. So if you go to Scopes or if you go to Snipes or whatever it is, PolitiFact or even WikiLeaks, they all tell you, oh no, that didn't happen. He was a hero. He was, no, he wasn't. Even if he didn't do the wet start and it wasn't an electrical discharge on the plane behind him, the missile didn't hit his plane as they claimed. It hit the plane next to him, which caused the, it hit the fuel tank and caused a fire. And McCain may have panicked at that point and hit the switch that dropped a very heavy bomb onto the deck. Now, the flames might not have set off this bomb had he not done that, but they, some people theorize he panicked and ran away. When he ran away, a Navy chief helped was with a fire extinguisher and kind of cleared the flames away so he could run away. And then the bomb blew up and killed the chief, and it killed a whole bunch of other people. So what did McCain do? Well, first thing he did was get off the ship. He met up with the New York Times reporter. And by the way, the captain told that New York Times reporter that it was started by a wet start. But he said the wet start was accidental. I don't know. So this is some things that if you look on the internet, they'll tell you all kinds of different stories and people have all kinds of different theories. But if you look at his behavior, what did he do? He basically went AWOL. He jumped aboard a helicopter with the reporter and hightailed it to Saigon. He said he needed rest and relaxation. Okay, so here's McCain. He should be back helping. He wasn't even there for the mass funeral the next day, the memorial. He was in Saigon drinking scotch and sodas for 5 days.
Before he is a child of privilege, as you point out, a father and grandfather who were admirals, and he was able to get away with anything that he wanted to do. We got to take a break, Ben. When we come back, I want to talk about the situation in Vietnam. As you point out in your article, he wasn't a hero. He might have been a victim, but he wasn't a hero for what he did in Vietnam. That made him dead set against torture. But I think it's very ironic that not only would he shut down all efforts to rescue the POWs missing in action that were left behind, very well documented, but also attack the families and then push for the Iraq War that was based on lies that were obtained by torture. We'll be right back with Ben Garrison. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm talking to Ben Garrison, and we're talking about John McCain, the hero, it seems, of everyone in the deep establishment. They love him, and we're going to talk about why that is. It's quite obvious why they would love him. He is the partner of George Soros, many people in the deep state, the military-industrial complex, gives them all the wars that they wanted, and he betrays his voters is on things like Obamacare and so forth. And he was the opposition to Trump. That is really the essence of why they love him so much and why they're criticizing President Trump and using John McCain still to do it. But we're going back and doing a retrospect of some of the highlights or maybe the lowlights of John McCain's celebrated life with Ben Garrison. Before we go back to Ben, real quickly, I want to tell you about a couple of things we have on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new sale on BodEase. 50% off, and of course, that is a formula to ease your body, to ease inflation. The key ingredient in that is turmeric, an anti-inflammatory and natural ingredient, and you can find that in BodEase and get that 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Many other specials. I'll give you one more. You can save 20% off Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee, just for our listeners here at Real News, because we're in a morning show. We put this in for the Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just use the code REALNEWS at checkout to save 20% off of the original and the immune support blends. And again, it is non-GMO, 100% Arabica bean coffee. Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just use the code REALNEWS to save 20% at checkout at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, you can find Ben. Let me tell you where you can find Ben. He's at GRRR Graphics. Like graphics. GRRR Graphics is his Twitter handle, and he also has a domain site there, grrrgraphics.com. And that's where you can see his cartoons, buy his cartoons, many other things. And we've been talking about the article that he had. And you had some issues with this article, didn't you? It got so much traffic that you had some problems with your ISP provider. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we have a lot of, we had a lot of traffic because of the cartoon, and suddenly the site went down. It was just totally down, and we couldn't figure it out. So naturally, we contacted our host, our web provider, and they get back to us, and they did got back to us all right about 8 or 9 hours later. when they told us what happened, I was a little incredulous, because they said, well, it's because your WordPress code is all bloated and it's taking up too much space. You need to reduce your cartoons down like 90%. You know, I said, well, I do that. There's going to be a mass of blurry pixels. I'm not going to do that. So we have unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage, and yet we found the limits pretty quick when we did the McCain cartoon. Now, I'm not saying I was, but it was mighty suspicious, because suddenly they say, well, your site doesn't work, and it's screwing everything up, and we're going to shut you down. So they basically said, we're sorry, but you'd have to fix your issues before we let you back up. And so we were down for a long time, and I was stuck and steaming about it, but what could I do?
Yeah.
Next morning, one of their executive, higher up tech people called me, and he spilled the beans. He said, well, you got way too much traffic because of your John McCain cartoon, and it was just, we couldn't take it, so we had to pull the plug on you. Wow. And I was thinking, well, we've had a lot of traffic before. Why this particular time? And so, long story short, I mean, he agreed to put our site back up. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said that our site was doesn't work because we had some faulty coding or whatever lie they told us the day before. But that wasn't true. But it was up again, but it was very slow. But I tell you one thing, we had so many people write us with offers of help and technical help, and just, you know, people were outraged at that, because now I may be paranoid, and, you know, it may be like they said, it was just, but it seems like a coincidence, doesn't it? And I felt
when you have these unfortunate coincidences, and then when their stories don't, they give you different stories at different times, then I think you're warranted to do that. But of course, they just call you and I conspiracy theorists. Let's go back to John McCain. You know, you were talking about how he was somebody who was spoiled, he was arrogant, he was privileged, did whatever he wanted. But then when he got captured and tortured, what's that?
The thing about his character that maybe I did not hammering home, I missed, is that the kind of like the motif that I hear throughout his life is he's a backstabber. He backstabbed Annapolis. He backstabbed the crew of the Forrestal. And then when he shot down, well, not to mention he backstabbed Charles Keating. I mentioned Charles Keating before the SNL. Keating, you know, give him lavish vacations and hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations, and he'd fly his family to Bermuda or the Bahamas and all kinds of lavish vacations. He ends up testifying, you know, in court against Charles Keating. So he stabs his benefactor in the back. But then he gets shot down in Hanoi, we know what happens there. He was called the Songbird. Now, he claims he was tortured, but some of the other prisoners there say that's not true, that they actually, you know, they treated him like a crown prince. And in actuality, that was the North Vietnamese nickname for him. They called him the crown prince because they knew he was special. And when they got him,
explain why he acted the way that he did to the families of those missing in action. I read a very detailed report from New America and how there were 700 people they left behind because of documents, because of satellite photos, because of ransom demands and so forth. And he shut all these things down and got very abusive, both verbally and physically. And there are a lot of witnesses who reported this. There's mainstream media who reported the encounters that he had with these families pushing back on this. It seems like that time that he had there, when he comes back, instead of being an arrogant playboy, he comes back more like a Dr. Strangelove figure, you know, loving war and crippled even more in his psyche than he is in his body.
Well, when he came back, the first thing I mentioned, he stabbed his fellow POWs in the back, and he would actually, he'd actually rat out on them, to get special privileges. Now, they say, well, he arrived and he was all beat up and broken arms. Well, he did that himself, because when he ejected, he failed to tuck in his arms. Why did he do that? Apparently, he wasn't paying attention in training class. You know, he made very poor grades. He's John McCain. He doesn't have to go to a class and learn things. How dare you think I have to? I already know it all. Well, When he got back, the first thing he did was stab his wife in the back. She had a bad auto accident and, you know, was extremely injured. And he immediately dropped her for a wealthy heiress and basically just moved on and stabbed her in the back and, you know, pursued his political career. The thing with the MIAs may have cemented his relationship with the Pentagon deep state military industrial complex.
Yeah.
Because they knew that North Vietnamese had almost up to 1,000, still had, they only gave up 500 and something after the Paris Peace Accords. And one of them that they gave up was John McCain, but they still had almost 1,000 in the country. And everybody knew this, and there were thousands of intelligence documents that reported sightings of American POWs in Vietnam and Laos. All covered up and redacted, and John McCain actually wrote legislation that enabled that to be more carefully hidden. So why is he doing this? You think he would be on the side of the MIAs? No, he wasn't, because Vietnam at that point wanted, I think it was like $3 or $4 billion, and the Pentagon. Well,
Ben, I understand how the deep state and the mainstream media and the establishment loved John McCain because all the stuff that he did for them, for the military industrial complex, for Soros and so forth. When I look at the military, a lot of these people look at it, they accept the official story about John McCain's history and so forth. And so they're very sympathetic to him because he wore the uniform, because he was captured, because they believe that he was injured and so forth. However, you know, this is a guy who obviously, when we're talking about this MIA thing, he left these people behind. I mean, that is the fundamental code of the military. You don't leave people behind. And yet he did that. And to me, that says it all for these people need to wake up about what John McCain was about.
He left them behind on the forest all. That's his pattern. That's his backstabbing pattern. So he backstabbed the MIA families. He made one woman cry under testimony. He was all red-faced. How dare you question my patriotism? And that's not what he was doing. But, he brought a woman to tears. And he would, like, he shoved one family in the hallway to get by. This guy was just a monumental creep, let me tell you. But this the backstabbing thing continues, and he actually, I think, used the deep state to help cover his record, too. Because, of course, he brags about his medals and whatnot, but his military record is heavily redacted, and you can't, and it's secret. Why? Well, it's because, you know, they don't want you to hear what he was saying, the Songbird. It was broadcast over in Hanoi radio. Military intelligence knows exactly what he was doing.
What he was doing with ISIS, and we know what he was doing in terms of shopping around this dossier to overthrow the election and overthrow President Trump. A real backstabber, a real Soros puppet. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben Garrison. And again, you can find him at grrrgraphics.com and the same handle at Twitter. That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us.